welcome back into the Philly Sports Podcast, episode number 20. Excited to be back recording with you all, Owen Boyle and Sean McMenamin, here with you as always. Thanks for listening to another episode of our podcast talking all things Philly sports. And we have some exciting, kind of sad, somber conversation today about the state of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes, sir. I'm really excited to talk about this topic today, get back to the grind. It's been a while. I know you guys have missed us, but, you know, really looking forward to dive into everything that has evolved in the past 24 hours.
Before we get into the Eagles conversation, we celebrated our one-year anniversary over the month of January, in late January. We were planning on doing a special anniversary episode, had some feelers out with some guests, but everything kind of fell through. And so personal lives, school, all that kind of stuff has been taking over our daily activities, and especially our Fridays and weekends. But we're excited to be back with you. It was a great year, and we're looking forward to a second year putting out some great content, and hopefully you all enjoy it.
Yeah, as Owen said, we've been very busy, but thank you so much for sticking with us, and it's going to be a great year for 2021 in this podcast, so stay tuned for some awesome content.
Well, the big news is obviously, if you haven't heard now, that Carson Wentz is no longer Philadelphia Eagle, traded to the Indianapolis Colts yesterday morning, right around lunchtime. Eagles got back a third-round pick this year and a 2022 second-round pick that could potentially become a 2022 first-round pick, and that, of course, is if Carson Wentz plays 75% of the snaps for the Colts this upcoming season, or he plays 70% of the snaps and the Colts make the playoffs. So with the way things went for Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, all the injuries, the benching, he only had one season where he didn't play 70% or more of the snaps, and that was in 2018 when he came back from his Achilles injury and then got hurt later in the year with the back injury and was sat by Doug Peterson just out of precaution when Nick Foles came in and led them to that victory in the playoffs against the Bears. That was the only year. So I guess that's a bright spot you can look at for this deal, but overall, personally for me, I don't think the Eagles got enough back for Carson Wentz, and I think I'm still trying to comprehend the fact that that deal went down. We knew it would probably happen, but now that it's here, it's a little bit confusing, a little bit of a hard time comprehending. And you know, now that Carson Wentz is gone, he was such an integral part to this team over the last 5 years. It's definitely a rough time to be an Eagles fan.
Yeah, definitely, man. When I saw this news, I was upset with what we got in return. Like you said, Owen, I would have at least wanted a second-round pick in this year's draft. You couldn't even get that. So, you know, that was a little disappointing. But at least you can hold out hope for the 2022's second-round pick that should become a first if everything goes right. I think Wentz will definitely play that amount of snaps. You know, fingers crossed that he doesn't have an injury. But, yeah, like you said, Owen, this was kind of sad, but that it has come to this point. You know, I really think the moment that the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts, it was, you know, the downfall of Carson Wentz. I think he lost all of his confidence. It just went all downhill from there. Especially, you know, even when he led them to the playoffs last year, I think that concussion, you know, may have had something to do with his play this season. And, you know, we can get into that, but it was crazy how everything unfolded and, you know, how much we were waiting. I'm just glad that we got it done and he's traded. I'm relieved in a way.
Yeah, I think there was relief and frustration from a lot of people. I've seen mixed reactions on social media and talked to different people and got some mixed reactions about Carson moving on and what kind of package that the Eagles got back. And there was a lot of talks about potentially the Eagles getting a first round pick and a lot of steam coming out of the organization about getting potentially two first round picks. That obviously didn't come to fruition. I know a lot of people were talking about potentially getting a player in the deal. Maybe if Carson was traded to the Bears, getting Nick Foles back, which would have been one hell of a story, but that didn't happen. They got a second round pick in 2022 and a third round pick in 2021, this year's draft. But personally for me, I don't think it's enough. They gave up 5 picks for Carson Wentz. They paid him over $100 million. They took one of the highest dead cap hits in NFL history at $33.8 million to trade him. They put a lot of money, they put a lot of effort to get Carson Wentz on this team and to keep Carson Wentz on this team. And now that he's gone, the only thing they get in return is a little bit of cap room and a third-round pick and a second-round pick. I know it can potentially turn into a first-round pick, but with Carson Wentz's injury history, with how he's played over the years, who knows if Carson Wentz is going to play 70% of the snaps or 75% of the snaps, whichever one it may be. I just can't trust that right now, and it would be so Philadelphia Eagles to say, oh, yeah, we have a first-round pick in 2022, another one because of the Colts, and then it not come to fruition.
Yeah, man, it's really tough to say, like you said. I think it should, but, you know, you don't know at this point. And I also really think at the time of the draft, we literally said, I remember saying, Carson Wentz is the franchise quarterback. And, you know, throughout the season, that truly unfolded. He obviously, you know, was given some weapons. I don't think probably not enough. He had Jalen Reagor, DeSean Jackson, but he had injuries, so... Zach Ertz, there wasn't much consistency with the weapons he had, but even with the guys that he did had, he didn't really make it work. And when it wasn't working, you know, he would sulk. I don't think he was the best teammate in a way. He wouldn't try to encourage the guys. He showed no leadership skills. So I guess that, you know, was a big reason as to why they ended up dealing him. And it was just a weird season, obviously, but it's crazy how it has come to this point. Like I said, and like you said, Owen, you traded up, you know, you gave up so much to get Carson Wentz, to get your guy. And we really thought we had our guy. All of a sudden, you know, he's gone. And now who do you look to? Jalen Hurts. I mean, you know, we can get into that later, but it's a big talking point. And I'm honestly a little worried about the future of this franchise.
Yeah, bringing up the point that you talked about him potentially not being a great teammate. I don't know if that's necessarily fair to say because we didn't have that vantage point of being in the locker room and actually being a teammate of Carson Wentz. I remember being at the NovaCare Complex just a day after, day or two after Carson Wentz had signed his contract extension. It was a media day, and I had the pleasure of being there, and that was the night of Carson's press conference about his new contract and the vibe with the players in the cafeteria, in the media rooms, all that kind of stuff, the coaching staff. It was great. They knew they had that guy for their future. And looking down the road 2 years later, the future looks grim. It was once bright. We talk about Doug Peterson's big speech on the Art Museum steps after the Super Bowl. The new norm. This is the new norm. Now Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson are gone. And the new norm is being a dumpster fire of an organization led by a terrible general manager. So that's not the new norm I think everyone was looking for, but it's a new norm that we have right now. And going back to the point about Carson being maybe not a great teammate, look at social media over the past couple days. He has been interacting with his new teammates with the Colts. I've seen more interaction with defensive players than offensive players that Carson Wentz would be working with. I know there was a cornerback that reached out to him, Julian Blackman, who was drafted just about a year ago for the Colts. He reached out to Carson Wentz, FaceTiming, text message conversations. Carson, there was a video of Carson arriving in Indianapolis today, looks very happy. I think he just didn't want to be here anymore. I think that's what it was. I don't know if he necessarily was a bad teammate. It seems like he was disinterested and lost interest in this team, this organization, and this fan base probably longer ago than we might think. We know he got benched, but wasn't playing well, had his injury history, dealt with the Nick Foles stuff being benched for him due to injury or kind of Nick Foles taking over that limelight from him in the spotlight. And I think maybe he just wanted a fresh start where he could go be with a familiar coach in Frank Reich. I think it's a perfect situation for Carson. The media, I don't know what kind of media is out there, but I'm sure it's not as aggressive and as intimidating as the Philadelphia media. I'm sure there's a bunch of good hunting spots for him out there because we know he loves to hunt. So I think it's a perfect situation for him. And if there's anybody that won this situation and won this trade, it's Carson Wentz.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You could tell he wanted a fresh start in the middle of the season, obviously. Like I said, you saw signs from what I mentioned earlier, and I think it mostly benefits him. I think he'll do well, especially reuniting with Frank Reich in Indianapolis, the guy that really led him to success in that 2017 season when Wentz led us to that Super Bowl. And going off of that point, you know, just 3 years ago, we won that Super Bowl, and off of what you said, Owen, I wrote this in an article the day after we won the Super Bowl. I said this could potentially be the beginning of an Eagles dynasty for years to come, led by Doug Peterson and our franchise QB, Carson Wentz. And look where we are now. Doug Peterson fired, Carson Wentz traded. I mean, to look back at that, it's crazy how everything has come to this point and unfolded, mentioned earlier. But I do think this definitely benefits Carson Wentz more so than the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, while I mentioned that Wentz wasn't the best teammate, the Eagles organization definitely failed him by taking Jalen Hurts in this year's draft. His confidence, I don't think, was ever there. And you could honestly look to when Nick Foles won the Super Bowl, that definitely took a hit to his confidence because he didn't win the Super Bowl. He didn't win that specific game. Yes, he led them there, but you know, that definitely had to do something with his ego and confidence moving forward. And obviously all those injuries, the back injury, the concussion, he's went through a lot of stuff. So to be where he is at this point, you know, I think he's definitely happy in his position. And I'm going to root for the guy. I like Carson Wentz as a player and as a person. And, you know, but obviously the Eagles are my team and I'm going to stick with them. And I really hope that they can turn this thing around and trend into the right direction.
Well, it seemed like kind of finishing up the Carson point and stuff like that, that a lot of the veteran players that he had played with really enjoyed playing with him and were actually defending him. The number one guy that comes to mind here is Torrey Smith, came to the Eagles in the Super Bowl season and won a ring with us and was a good teammate, a good leader in the locker room, really enjoyed being here in Philadelphia, was a fan favorite. Might not have been the greatest of players, but he came through with some big plays, and he and Carson Wentz had a great relationship. It seems that a lot of the older guys, Chris Long, another one, some of the veteran players that are still on the roster, whether it be Lane Johnson, Jason Kelsey, Fletcher Cox, have come to his defense, Zach Ertz as well. There's a lot of players that are on the more veteran side that have come to the defense of Carson Wentz, but then you have some of the younger guys that are maybe coming more to the defense of Jalen Hurts or supporting him more, which maybe didn't help the fact that Carson was kind of feeling disinterested in being here because some of the younger guys might have been more interested in playing with Jalen Hurts when he kind of got this team reignited in the middle of the season. It didn't really go anywhere, but we saw where Jalen Hurts could take this team. We saw if it's a full healthy team, what Jalen Hurts could potentially do. There's a lot of work to do, and I think the top priority was getting Carson out of the building because of the cap hit he had, because of the disinterest he had in playing for this organization, because of the struggles that he had. We can't forget to mention the fact that he was one of the, if not the worst quarterback in the NFL last season. And he was a great player before that. Sean mentioned we have to credit him for leading us to the Super Bowl, even though he didn't play in the playoffs that year, didn't win the Super Bowl for us. It was Nick Foles, but we wouldn't be in that position without Carson Wentz as Eagles fans. So moving on for him, a win for him. I think if the Eagles had gotten a little bit more out of the trade, it would have been definitely a win. I still think it's a good thing to kind of get that monkey off your back. Put one of the small fires out in this big dumpster fire that's going on right now. But there's a lot more to be done. And I think Carson Wentz leaving the Eagles organization, getting a fresh start, was the number one priority this offseason, even before getting rid of Doug Peterson in my mind. But they got rid of Doug Peterson beforehand. And I think we can agree that getting rid of Howie Roseman is probably the number one priority, but we just know that's not going to happen because Jeffrey Lurie has some fond attachment to Howie Roseman that he'll never let go. So I think getting Carson Wentz to the Colts, matching him with Frank Reich again, clean slate for him, clean slate for this Eagles team, clean slate for this organization. It's a good step in the right direction. Just don't know when that right direction is necessarily going to start.
Yeah, and with how bad Carson Wentz played last season, there's no way you could have brought him back. I mean, I was so frustrated and, you know, upset with the play that was going on last season. So, like you said, best for both sides to move on. It puts out one small fire. I know there's a lot of other big things going on, and I'm not sure how to think of Howie Roseman and this deal, because, you know, there were reports that the Colts were the only team that offered something legit, and, you know, he didn't have much leverage, so I guess he got what he got, and, you know, he tried his best to maybe, I don't know, get whatever it was, but obviously we're upset here. We think we should have got something better for this year's draft. However, you just got to move on, advance. Jalen Hurts is your guy. We're going to have some bumps, you know, this season, I think, if they end up going with Hurts. We don't know for sure, but I think he shows leadership qualities and the ability to really lead the team in the right direction. I love what I saw, especially in the Cardinals game, the Saints game, what he could do on the field. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to the next few seasons. But like you said, Owen, there's a lot of other things we got to figure out, and this year's draft will be huge. I know we've said it in other previous drafts, but this is the biggest one in years with the 6th pick. So Howie Roseman, you cannot mess this up.
Yeah, and kind of to not touch on this year's draft yet, but to look back at last year's drafting Jalen Hurts with the 53rd overall pick in the 2nd round. I know there was a tweet put out by Les Bowen, who writes for the Eagles. He talked to an NFL executive who said they valued Jalen Hurts at a late third, early fourth, mid-fourth round pick. This executive, not from the Eagles, also believes that the Eagles could potentially take a quarterback at 6 overall, which you look at that whole tweet, it's just a problem in itself. The fact that the Eagles took Jalen Hurts at 53 when they had just signed their franchise quarterback to a contract extension. They believed in him. They wanted him to be the future, lead them to another Super Bowl. And then you go draft a quarterback. I know Carson had his injury issues, but you don't need to draft a quarterback if someone has his injuries. You just need to add a veteran quarterback, somebody that's capable of doing the job. And bringing in a rookie to pair with Carson Wentz. We already saw how Carson Wentz did with a quarterback that was very capable of performing under pressure and performing in this league in Nick Foles. We saw what happened. Nick Foles took over the starting spot for Carson Wentz when he got injured a couple different times in Nick's second stint with the Eagles, but didn't seem like Carson Wentz was too much of a fan of having a second quarterback behind him that could pose a threat to taking his starting role. I think it made him insecure. I think it made him uncomfortable and ultimately led to his demise here in Philadelphia. And bringing Jalen Hurts in, this is not Carson Wentz's fault at all about bringing Jalen Hurts in. It's Howie Roseman's fault. I still don't know, looking back on it, why they did it. Carson Wentz was very talented when they drafted Jalen Hurts. He had his bad year this year, and we didn't know what Jalen Hurts could bring. Now we know what Jalen Hurts could bring, but was it worth using a second-round pick on and ruining the potential you had with a franchise quarterback that was a real close MVP candidate in the year that they won the Super Bowl? I think there was a lot of potential there, but drafting a quarterback in the 2nd round that some others didn't view as highly as you did and value as highly as you did, that definitely hurt Carson Wentz.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know what it was, but Howie Roseman must have had some, you know, love affection for Jalen Hurts when we already had our guy. And Owen and I stressed that in the live stream right when that happened. You know, that was one of the worst draft picks, I think, in recent memory. But now, you know, they're going to go forward with him. Another quote I have here, I'm sure everyone has heard it, from John Madden: if you've got two quarterbacks, you have none. So I just want to pose that to Howie Roseman when he decided to take Jalen Hurts. Like, what in the world were you thinking? It's also the worst thing to have two young quarterbacks because, as you mentioned, Owen, it definitely had an effect on Carson Wentz, his confidence, the way he went out and approached games, practice, you name it. You could just tell he was disinterested. And with how bad he played, I don't think he was ever going to get back to that MVP-type level that he, you know, had executed and shown in the 2017 season in Philadelphia, which was a big reason, you know, as to why we ended up trading him. But, Yeah, like you said, man, I think this all falls on the shoulders of Howie Roseman for taking Jalen Hurts when you had so many other needs that you had to fill, linebacker, cornerback, anything, and he went with Hurts. But, you know, it's all for speculation because you think if he doesn't take Jalen Hurts, you know, is Carson Wentz a great player this past season? Does he light up the league? You don't know, but I like to think he would have been a lot better than he played this season. So it's just something to think about, food for thought, trying to stay optimistic. But it is definitely tough. Like you said, Owen, Jeffrey Lurie, he has something for Howie Roseman, and he trusts him. And don't get me wrong, he's great with putting contracts together and keeping veterans around. But this is a time where you need to rebuild, and I don't know if he's capable of doing that. So we'll just have to see what he can do in this year's draft and this offseason.
Yeah, Howie definitely is the biggest problem for me. We look at the history, and just in the last year, in the first round, drafting Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. We all wanted Justin Jefferson. If you watched our live stream, wanted Justin Jefferson. You didn't pick him. And Justin Jefferson looks like he's going to be a top wide receiver in this league. He already surpassed numbers set by Hall of Famer Randy Moss in a Vikings jersey and was phenomenal with Kirk Cousins. What could have been with Justin Jefferson in the Eagles lineup? We don't know with Carson Wentz, but it could have been something special. Jalen Reagor had his injuries. He didn't play up to, I think, what we thought he would. He's a young guy, but just not the impact receiver that the Eagles needed. The Eagles needed a number one guy for Carson Wentz. Alshon Jeffrey has had his injury issues. He's getting older. He's getting slower. You can't rely on your tight ends all the time. Greg Ward, okay, like, he's a good number three, number four option, but he's not a top guy. And they just didn't have that number one guy. They had the chance to go out and get him. They failed. They had the chance to trade up for a guy like CeeDee Lamb. They didn't do that as well. And they didn't address the linebacker position at all in the offseason. We saw the struggles that Nate Jerry had. And this was a team that had so much potential going into the year. You saw the first half against the football team in the first game of the season. It all plummeted from there. It went kaboom. Like, this was a good first half, and then all of a sudden, Eagles lose that game. Football team comes from behind, and you know the rest. The rest is history there. There were a lot of things that Howie did wrong. I think an underrated move that was wrong was not retaining Josh McCown to the Eagles roster, not just practice squad or lineup, but to the roster. I know they had him on as a practice squad quarterback, but he got picked up by, I believe it was the Texans, and I think he was an integral part to the development Carson Wentz had the year prior, where we saw him come back with this team and lead them to the playoffs. They needed four wins in a row, and Carson Wentz got all four wins. And I think having such an experienced veteran leader in the quarterback room in Josh McCown really helped the development and growth of Carson Wentz, because Josh McCown wasn't a guy that was necessarily going to come in and take your spot. You could feel comfortable learning under him. As soon as you bring in a young quarterback that has the potential to shine and was a early draft pick, that's going to make you uncomfortable, and that's going to hurt Carson Wentz. I think that was a big decision that many people don't touch on nowadays, not bringing back Josh McCown, and it might not have been as important, but I still think it was huge for Carson Wentz's development, and they really didn't help Carson Wentz out at all. I know he was terrible this season, but throughout his time here with the Eagles, he never really had that number one wide receiver. He never really had that go-to wide receiver or a go-to type play, whatever it was. We all wanted him to roll out, always stayed in the pocket, was taking terrible sacks, fumbling the ball, throwing interceptions left and right. It was just not the Carson Wentz we saw, and I don't think that Howie Roseman did a good job at putting him in a perfect situation for him to succeed.
Yeah, I also think it's kind of tough to think about and, you know, see what Justin Jefferson would have done for this Eagles team, because I don't know, our wide receivers coach Aaron Moorhead, he hasn't really been great in developing wide receivers, so could have gone either way. I think Jalen Reagor had an unlucky season with those injuries, so it's tough to say that Jefferson would have had the success in Philadelphia. However, I mean, coming out of college, he should have been their top priority, especially, you know, after they did not trade up to get CeeDee Lamb. If I were the Eagles, if I was Harry Roseman, I 100% would have traded up to get CeeDee Lamb. They did not do that. And obviously, it's their first year in the league, so going to try to hold out hope for Jalen Reagor, but it's really tough to think and analyze how he's going to be better than Justin Jefferson in his next season. Then again, Justin Jefferson was a number two receiver in the Vikings system, whereas Reagor was kind of just thrown in. I don't even know what number he was for us. But like you said, Owen, there was not much around Carson Wentz for him to succeed. Obviously, they brought in Marquise Goodwin, but he opted out of the season. So that was another thing. Alshon Jeffrey, he had his injury struggles, and when he was playing, it was Jalen Hurts. You know, he was on the field. It wasn't even Carson Wentz. So he didn't have much. Wentz didn't have much to throw to. And even Zach Ertz, he had his inconsistencies this season. So you hit the nail right on the head with the point that Howie Roseman did not surround Carson Wentz with enough weapons in his time in Philadelphia. And it's a real talking point for this team, where, you know, you also took Quez Watkins in this past year's draft and John Hightower, and two guys I think that played well with Jalen Hurts, but they did not with Carson Wentz. So it's a lot of what ifs and who was in at the right time and whatnot. So it's really tough to say that those specific receivers would have done well, Justin Jefferson specifically with Carson Wentz, but I'd like to think he would have. So it's tough, and I really hope that how we can address these issues in this year's draft with some top receivers out there, Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith. You know, there's plenty of them, so you cannot miss with that sixth pick. And, you know, if you do hit on it, then I think that'll be excellent for Hurts' development.
And just before we take a look ahead, just to point out, I think for me, the biggest factor, we talked about Carson not getting a bunch of help from Howie Roseman and many of the players on this Eagles team. For me, it shouldn't be as big of a difference, because you saw what he did with fourth string, fifth string, practice squad guys when your number one wide receiver was Greg Ward in 2019, when Carson led the Eagles to a four-game win streak right before the playoffs, 2019-2020, four-game win streak right before the playoffs, got them to the playoffs, unfortunately got hurt in the playoff game pretty early on. But he did all that with Greg Ward as his number one wide receiver. Didn't have much help. He had a depleted offensive line. The defense, we know the defense isn't as good as it was maybe in the Super Bowl season. He did a lot. He was a very good quarterback in that season. And you look at guys like Deshaun Watson, who really are playing at a elite level with nothing surrounding them. Bad offensive line, not many weapons. And Deshaun Watson is still an elite quarterback. He never dipped. His form never dipped down. He never had one really bad year and made the team have to trade him, even though he does want to get traded and should get traded, but the Texans are refusing to trade him. But that's a guy you use an example who's an elite quarterback. Now, I think he was better than Carson Wentz if they're both at the top of their game, but still, he never dipped without any help. He never dipped with a bad offensive line, with not having a number one wide receiver. He lost DeAndre Hopkins, and he still put up some good numbers. Carson Wentz didn't do that. So I look at that. Carson Wentz, that's the difference between an elite quarterback and a franchise quarterback, I think, which is why I'm not too mad that he's gone, and I think they can replace him. I think he's going to do well in Indianapolis with Frank Reich. Hopefully he can regain that MVP level play he was at in 2017 under Frank Reich, when Frank was the OC here in Philadelphia. I think there's a potential for Carson to be good, but I think there's a potential for him to continue his play and not be as good as many think. I think a lot of people are speculating whether he can get back to that MVP form, or if he'll kind of just be a mediocre quarterback for the rest of his career. So that's one thing I look at. You compare some of the other quarterbacks who are kind of in similar situations that are still doing well and didn't have a dip in form and a dip in play. I think that's a big factor to look at.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really not sure if he can get back to that MVP form. As you mentioned, he did very well with backups. Why couldn't he do so well last year with, you know, some improved players in positions, specifically the wide receiver and tight end? And I know I'm kind of contradicting myself here based on saying that Howie didn't give him enough weapons, but he did have some proven guys that he could have had some success with, and he did not. So it's a bunch of what ifs, as I mentioned. I hope he can get back to the successful form, but it's not going to affect me in my fanhood. I'm still going to stick with the Eagles. I'm glad. Move on from Carson Wentz. I wish you all the best of luck, but I'm here to support my birds always. And, you know, let's hope that they can turn this ship around, move towards the right direction.
And looking at the future now, kind of redirecting from this Carson Wentz conversation, because we can probably go on for hours about this. But looking ahead to the future, and just over the last hour, we had some news that DeSean Jackson was being released, which freed up about, I think, $4.8 million cap space freed up for the Eagles with releasing DeSean Jackson. Unfortunately, his second stint here with the Birds was just filled with injuries, and more injuries. I think he went out on a high note with that touchdown against the Cowboys, even though the Eagles were abysmal this season. He had those two touchdowns with Carson Wentz in his first game back against then the Redskins, now the football team. So it was tough for him to deal with all these injuries and have a good second tenure here with the Eagles. And unfortunately, it didn't go the way we all expected it to go. We all had him as coming in to really help Carson Wentz as a deep weapon. We know Carson really didn't throw the deep ball. He didn't have that deep option, that fast guy, that speed burner. DeSean Jackson was the perfect guy. You saw those two touchdowns against the football team at the beginning of, not last season, but the season prior. We thought that was the quote-unquote new norm. We always, you know, we talk about the new norm a lot here, and it just didn't pan out, which is unfortunate because I think we all were rooting for DeSean Jackson to do well. He's had his injury history in the past. He hadn't been able to get a Super Bowl ring, which he probably deserves. Of course, he leaves the Buccaneers, and then the Bucs go win a Super Bowl ring. So, unfortunately, he won't be with the Eagles, but I think it helps because the Eagles are going to need that free space, that cap space, but they're also going to need more younger players. If they're in a retooling, rebuilding mode, you don't want to have a 34 or 35-year-old wide receiver that's always getting hurt on your roster. So I think that's a good move by the Eagles. Frees up some cap space, and they could potentially bring in a couple other pieces to help the team out more than a DeSean Jackson would, kind of looking towards the long-term future.
Yeah, and in his return to Philadelphia, I think it's safe to say that, you know, DeSean Jackson kind of hurt more than helped us, due to all the games that he missed from injury and whatnot. But it was, like you mentioned, Owen, it was an awesome memory. That big touchdown against the Cowboys kind of reminisced back in the old days when he was first with the Eagles in that Andy Reid era. And he had some great touchdowns, you know, during that time, especially the Monday Night Football game against the Redskins. Michael Vick bomb to DeSean Jackson, first play of the game, kind of reminded me of that. So, I mean, it's going to be tough to move on because he was always one of my favorite players, but logistically, this was a very smart move for the Philadelphia Eagles to move on. He was aging. He's still having those injuries. He still said all love for Philly. So, you know, he's always going to be repping Philadelphia, but unfortunately not with the team. I think this was a good move, and we move on from here. Hopefully, turning that money into something positive and some other weapons that we can acquire in this offseason.
DeSean leaves the franchise as the third most receiving yards in Eagles history, which is it's a big number. Somebody that will probably be on the cusp of the Hall of Fame. Wish he could have won a Super Bowl ring here in Philadelphia, but hopefully he can go do it somewhere else and get that elusive ring that he deserves, like guy like LeSean McCoy did in back-to-back seasons as well. You don't think these guys who are Eagles legends are going to go win a Super Bowl ring with somebody else. You think they're going to win it with your team, and then they go win it with somebody else. So hopefully DeSean can get that. And there's a bunch of questions that are going to arise here in the offseason that have already risen. One being, what they'll do in the draft, what they'll do with the sixth pick. Will they trade back? Will they take a quarterback? Will they take a receiver? Another question being, how do they fix this secondary? We saw them bring in Darius Slay, but outside of that, Avante Maddox didn't play as well as I think we thought he was progressing towards. Jalen Mills, just, I'm not a big fan of Jalen Mills, if you know me. I don't think he's that good. And they still have a depleted offensive line. Will the big guys like Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, come back from injury and really play well? And I think the biggest question is probably, will Jason Kelce retire? He is getting up there in age. He's expressed his desire to retire over the past few years. Will he want to go through a rebuild with this team, or will he want to kind of step back and say, I realize that this is going to be a long rebuild or a retool, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to step back, retire, and free up some money for you guys, and you can get a center, build a new fresh start, that offensive line, because they have some promising talent on there with Dillard, with Mailata. Some of the guys that stepped up, Nate Herbig, Jack Driscoll, not that they'll ever be starters, but still, I think they had some promising developments there, one being Jordan Mailata. But if Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson can get back healthy, does Jason Kelce stay? I think that's a big question mark. So there's a lot of question marks that are going to come up here in the offseason. Also, how much money do the Eagles have to sign free agents to improve their team? Do they use that money? Do they acquire draft capital? Where does Zach Ertz go? Do they trade Zach Ertz? Do they keep him for one more year? Do they pay him? There's a lot of questions, and they're not necessarily positive ones, but they're going to need to be answered sooner rather than later.
Yep, tons of questions. You hit the nail right on the head with that statement. You got to look at the defense specifically, the cornerbacks, safeties. I mean, Jalen Mills, he had an up-and-down season last year. I hope he can continue to change that trend. But the linemen, Brandon Brooks, his return, obviously Lane Johnson, I hope these guys can come back healthy and lead this team to success, because they're going to really need to rely on them and hope that they can have a great season. Receivers you look at, you can hopefully acquire some in the draft, but we didn't see much production from them last season. I think Zach Ertz is, you know, all but gone, personally. At least we got Dallas Goedert. You know, I think he can get back to a great level of play and move on. Because, like you said, Owen, we got a lot to address this offseason. Hopefully, Howie Roseman can make the right decisions. We're not going to have much, you know, cap space from what I'm hearing right now. And I just hope we can get some kind of improvement, improve off of this terrible season and trend in the right direction, like I've been stressing so much this episode.
Well, the rebuild has started with the trade of Carson Wentz, the release of DeSean Jackson and his contract. And I'm assuming it's going to continue at a rapid pace over the next few weeks. Probably we'll hopefully see, not that I hope that Zach Ertz gets traded. I think it's just best for the franchise that he moves on. We'll see what plays out on that end. And if Jason Kelce retires, I'm sure that decision will come before free agency and before the draft. So the Eagles could plan ahead if Kelce decides to retire. So, again, a lot of questions with this Eagles team. We'll dive into it more on episodes coming up in the future about the draft. We know we like to focus on the draft here at PPSP, so I know we'll probably have some sort of draft episode and what the Eagles do with the sixth pick and what they could potentially do with that third round pick that they acquired from the Colts in the Carson Wentz trade. So a lot of questions, a lot of topics around this Eagles team that'll be touched on later on in the offseason, whether it be free agency, the draft, trades, stuff like that. So that'll wrap up our shorter episode here. It was good to be back talking Philadelphia sports. Might not be the most positive conversations and most popular and happiest conversations, but it's content. We got to get it out there, and hopefully the Eagles are taking a right step in the right direction.
Yes, sir. It was great to be back on the mic talking Philadelphia Eagles with you. Like you said, content is key. We're going to be putting that out hopefully on a more consistent basis. So stick with us, guys. I really hope you enjoy listening to this episode, and, you know, more content's coming out. So stick with us.
And one last thing, if you want more content from us two, I'll give a little plug to our radio show every Tuesday at 11 o'clock on WHIP Radio for WHIP Sports, the main event, talking college sports, Temple sports, Philadelphia sports, worldwide regional sports, all things sports on WHIP Radio. You can access that through the iHeartRadio app every Tuesday at 11 a.m. You can hear Sean and I on the airwaves. So if you want more content from us, you want to hear our voices more, I'm sure you do, you can go listen to that. So for myself, Owen Boyle, Sean McManaman, it was great being back with you. We hope you enjoy listening to this episode, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody.